In the shadow of your wings, I will abide forever and hear my spirit sings. I will rejoice in you, my God.
Welcome to In the Shadow of Your Wings with Pastor John Marins of the Granby Christian Church. The Granby Christian Church desires the lost to be saved and the believer to passionately pursue Christ in all that they do. Let's join Pastor John Marins for today's message.
Friends encouraging and comforting others that are in desperate times is an essential part of our work, the work that we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. With that in mind, shall we pray? Father, today may you use us to reach out to the hurting and cause them to know that you are there for them and that you really do care. You're watching. You're only a prayer away. Hold us close with these words of comfort. In the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The help we give to others is so important when they are going through difficult times, when they're dealing with disabilities or sickness or death. Stacy Lynn Heaton gave permission to share with you something that she's been working on concerning this. It's a devotion. Listen to what her parents did for her to encourage her during a time of physical disability. Stacy writes, I've been planning on doing a series of devotions entitled Seeing God in 2020. Now she's talking about Perfect Vision 2020. She says, when I was about 5 or 6, it was discovered that I needed glasses to see properly. As years went by, I had dozens of pairs of glasses and eventually contact lenses. In spite of this, my eyesight kept getting progressively worse, to where I was considered legally blind without correction. Stacy goes on to write, in the grand scheme of things, it shouldn't have been that big of a deal, but going swimming where I couldn't wear either glasses or contacts, or just trying to see the clock in the middle of the night, were challenges. This all changed when I was about 22. Friends, it was then that Stacy's parents told her that they wanted to give her a LASIK eye surgery as a Christmas gift. Stacy says, early in January, my dad visited me in Texas where I was working on my master's to help me through the procedure. Now, I'm no medical expert, so my description of what the procedure entails is put in layman's terms, but I found it fascinating. LASIK is a procedure where a laser makes a thin flap that is raised, and then the laser reshapes the cornea inside our eyeball correctly. The flap is lowered, and in my case, both eyes were finished in about 10 minutes. For the first few hours, you feel as though there is sand in your eyes, but after a long nap, I awoke to clear vision like nothing had ever happened. For me, it really felt like a miracle. I remember going camping at the lake that spring and being able to see the beauty around me while we swam. I remember waking in the middle of the night and looking out the window and seeing the moon and stars like I'd never seen them before. It was amazing. Then, and even now, almost 20 years later, I am grateful for the gift of sight. It has occurred to me more than once how this procedure could be a metaphor for my spiritual life. While I was created to see God clearly and to love Him wholeheartedly, sin had misshapen and made me unable to see God, His love, and His plan clearly. When I accepted that Christ loved me and had died for my sins and chose to give my life over to Him, the Holy Spirit began reshaping my point of view to reflect that of Jesus. It's taken longer than just 10 minutes. I've been walking with God for over 30 years, and the Holy Spirit is still reshaping my perspectives. He continues His work to make me more patient, to enable me to see sacrifice for others, to renew my mind daily as I spend time in His Word. With every correction, I see God a bit more clearly, my eyes continually opening to see people as Jesus does. Later in her devotion, Stacy quoted Job 42:5, my ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Just as Stacy has come to see God and his love more clearly because of the help her parents gave to her, I believe that Naomi began to see God and the love he had for her because of the help that Ruth gave to her. Naomi began to see God much more clearly because of Ruth. Remember, in the book of Ruth, Naomi is struggling with her vision of God. The circumstances of her life caused her to become bitter. She began to accuse God as well. In Ruth chapter 1, when she comes back to Bethlehem, having lost her husband and two sons to death in Moab, and probably most of her personal wealth, she says to the women of Bethlehem who come out to greet her, calling her by name, Naomi, Naomi. She says, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. Naomi means delight and Mara means bitter. She says, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Seeing the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me. It is at this point that the kind ministry of Ruth given to her mother-in-law begins to really bloom. You remember that Ruth chose to go to Bethlehem with Naomi, her mother-in-law, after the death of her husband. Oh, Naomi had tried to persuade her to go back home to her mother and to stay with her people and the gods of her land. But Ruth wouldn't have it. She instead leaves all and follows Naomi to Bethlehem. Ruth begins to further serve Naomi by going into the fields to glean after the harvesters that they might have some bread to eat. What a witness and an encouragement she then becomes to this one who is in such great need, who is desperate. It was as though the kindness of Ruth literally began to change the eyesight of Naomi. God is not untouched by our suffering. God does have time for us and wants us to talk to him and to be in fellowship with him. He's not like some of the, quote, important people of the world who have no time for those they think to be beneath them. This thought reminds me of a story that Paul Decker told as he was preaching. He said, in the spring of 1924, Jack Sundine was a four-year-old kid standing in line with his father inside the White House waiting to meet the sitting president. As they neared him, Jack noticed that the president said something to each visitor as they shook hands. Soon the thrilling moment arrived. Jack put his hand into the president's, and then the president said words that Jack will always remember. The president said, "Move along." In contrast, aren't you glad that we come to God, who doesn't tell us to just move along? No, he is personally involved in our lives and desires to hear from us. He desires to bless us and to comfort us and to help us to see life really from his perspective. He wants to write the final chapters of our life, and he will do so through the kind help and service of godly people that he places around us. These are the very ones who will step in our lowest moment and be a real friend to us. Here's another profound story that God sent my way. Listen carefully how one person touched another to the glory of God, revealing God's true nature. The story goes as follows. One day, I was a freshman in high school, and I saw a kid walking home from school. His name was Kyle. He looked like he was carrying all of his books, and I thought to myself, why would anyone bring home all his books on Friday? He must be a real nerd. I had quite a weekend planned. I had parties planned and a football game with my friends tomorrow afternoon, so I shrugged my shoulders and went on. As I was walking, I saw a bunch of kids running toward him. They ran at him, knocked all his books out of his arms, and tripped him so he landed in the dirt. His glasses went flying, and I saw them land in the grass about 10 feet from him. He looked up, and I saw the terrible sadness in his eyes. My heart went out to him, so I jogged over to him as he crawled around looking for his glasses, and I saw a tear in his eye. As I handed him his glasses, I said, "Those guys are jerks. They really need to get a life." He looked at me and said, "Hey, thanks." And there was a big smile on his face. It was one of those smiles that showed real gratitude. I helped him pick up his books, and I asked him where he lived. It turned out he lived near me. So I asked him why. I'd never seen him before. He said he had gone to private school before now. I would never have hung out with a private school kid before. We talked all the way home, and I carried some of his books, and he turned out to be a pretty cool kid. I asked him if he wanted to play a little football with my friends. He said yes. We hung out all weekend, and the more I got to know Kyle, the more I liked him. And my friends thought the same thing. Monday morning came, and there was Kyle with a huge stack of books again. I stopped him and said, boy, you're really going to build some serious muscle with this pile of books every day. He just laughed and handed me half the books. Over the next 4 years, Kyle and I became best friends. When we were seniors, we began to think about college. Kyle decided to go to Georgetown, and I was going to Duke. I knew that we would always be friends, that Miles would never be a problem. He was going to be a doctor, and I was going to go for a business degree on a football scholarship. Kyle became valedictorian of our class. I teased him all the time, calling him a nerd. He had to prepare a speech for graduation, and I was so glad I wasn't giving it. Instead, he was up there to speak. Graduation day came, and I saw Kyle. He looked great. He was one of those guys that really found himself during high school. He'd filled out and actually looked good in his glasses. He had more dates than I had, and all the girls loved him. Boy, sometimes I was jealous, and today was one of those days. I could see he was nervous about his speech, so I smacked him on the back and said, hey, big guy, you'll do great. He looked at me with one of those looks, the really grateful one, and smiled. Thanks, he said. As he cleared his throat to begin to speak, these words came from his mouth. Graduation is a time to thank those who help you make it through those tough years. Your parents, your teachers, your siblings, maybe a coach, but mostly your friends. And I'm here to tell all of you that being a friend to someone is the best gift you can give them. I'm going to tell you a story. I just looked at my friend with disbelief, and as he told of the first day we met, he had planned to kill himself that weekend. He talked of how he had cleared out his locker so his mom wouldn't have to do it later and was carrying his stuff home. He looked hard at me and gave me a little smile. Thankfully, I was saved. My friend saved me from doing the unspeakable. I heard a gasp go out through the crowd as this handsome, popular boy told us all about his weakest moment. I saw his mother and father looking back at me and smiling that grateful smile. Not until then did I realize its depth. Never underestimate the power of your actions. With one small gesture, you can bring change to a person's life, for better or worse. Friends, God puts us into the lives of others so that we can impact one another in positive ways. Look for ways that you can help other people. As you continue your study in the book of Ruth with me, you will see how her loving service brought change, literal change, to Naomi. And gave Naomi a brand new vision, one where she saw God in a fresh light as the kinsman redeemer, the savior, one who was literally going to provide for her and Ruth and her extended family. Be the friend to the one who is in deep need, and look for God to change their perspective on what they think about him. Shall we pray? Father God, this evening we just look to you and we just thank you so much for people who have made profound differences in our lives. Members of our family, friends, school teachers. Father, we thank you for these because you have used them to open our eyes to you. You are the source of every good and perfect gift, and when we're in difficult situations, you have not abandoned us. Instead, you are testing us. You're bringing our faith to perfection through the fiery trials of life. So, Father, when others are suffering, when others are sick, help us to step in. Help us to be your hands and your feet. Help us to give them love that they may truly see you correctly through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to In the Shadow of Your Wings with Pastor John Marins of the Granby Christian Church. If you don't have a church home, they would like to invite you to join them this Sunday for morning worship at 10:45. The church is located at 969 Granby Miners Road in Granby, Missouri. Have a blessed weekend, and remember to abide in the shadow of His wings.
I will rejoice in you, my God. In the shadow of your wings.
For 60 years, Crowder College has been empowering students to soar to new heights, from agriculture to education, to business, sports, and the newest technologies. Crowder always has something interesting going on. I'm Adam Winkler of KNEO Radio. Join me each week as I talk to a different person from Crowder College about what's been happening and what's coming up next. It's the Insider's Guide to All Things Crowder. Subscribe today to the This Week in Crowder College podcast, available from the Sky High Podcast Network.